We've had a lot of conversation, especially earlier on the show today when we were talking with Neil Irwin of The Washington Post and Sungmin Kim of Politico about the job numbers. And one of the interesting things that has happened when you look at the employment statistics is that we have a ton of unemployment at two ends. We have it first on the low end, 18 to 24-year-olds, and then people 50-plus. And what we're hearing a lot, and especially here in the Bay Area and in Silicon Valley, is people over 50 saying, I can't get anywhere with my job application. It goes nowhere despite all of my experience and everything I know. And we've come up with all kinds of theories about this, what companies are looking for and whether it's wages or what. And then I see this story by Nick Karkadilis, who started headhunting in the Silicon Valley in 1979 and has been doing this column, Ask the Headhunter, which you really should search out online. And this one was called The Talent Shortage Myth and Why HR, Human Resources, Should Get Out of the Hiring Business. And suddenly, I think a lot of my questions were answered. Nick, good to have you with us. How are you?
Gil Broda, thank you so much for having me.
I've wondered about this over time, but I thought they consulted with people. When HR started out, when human resources started out, they were the people who essentially, if somebody did sexual harassment or, you know, there was something bad that happened at work, you went down to see the people at HR. They might also do the exit interview, which always seemed to me a perfectly useless thing to go through.
It used to be called pay and benefits.
Yeah.
And they should have left it at that.
Exactly. Now, very often, they do the hiring, even though they may be completely clueless about the needs of the job. How did this happen?
Well, I think HR over the years has tried to sort of raise itself to the level of the finance department, maybe, or to the level of the marketing department. They've tried to be more scientific. And what they've done is really mired themselves in databases. People get recruited, they get brought into companies using these online databases. They're called applicant tracking systems. People know them commonly as job boards, where you go look for job postings. You send in your application. You were just talking, Gil, about the jobs numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to share some jobs numbers with you and with Rhoda and with your audience. The U.S. Department of Labor says that there are about 12 million unemployed people in America. However, there are about 27 million who are actually looking for jobs. These are unemployed plus people who are underemployed or working part-time who want full-time work. So employers have 27 million people to pick from. At the same time, Bureau of Labor Statistics tells us there's about 3.7 million jobs vacant. So you do the simple math. There's a 7-to-1 ratio here of people looking to jobs that are open. So employers, human resources departments, have a 7-to-1 advantage in the job market. And you know what HR calls this 7-to-1 edge that they have?
What?
They call it a talent shortage.
What?
It's a talent shortage. They cry and complain they can't find people with the right talent. So what's really going on? There's a fellow down at I'm in New Jersey, by the way. I used to be in Palo Alto. Down at University of Pennsylvania at the Wharton School of Business is a fellow named Peter Capelli, who has been doing research on this. And what he did is he took a look at 10, 15 years ago, what was really going on in the job market then and what's going on now. Employers today complain that they can't find people because schools are not graduating kids with the right skills. We can't find the right talent sets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they complain the right people just aren't available. That's why we have a talent shortage. So Capelli took a look historically at whether there are differences between today and 10, 15 years ago, and he says absolutely not. Employers really own the problem here. What's going on is, number one, employers are not paying what they used to pay. So the only thing there's a shortage of is people who are willing to take the money that employers are willing to pay for the same kinds of jobs. Second, education-wise, Americans are just as skilled, just as educated, just as smart as they ever were. The thing that he also found is that employers are not willing to allow for a learning curve. They're not providing training for anything, whether it's at an executive level, giving people time to come up to speed, or at a staff level, or in a factory job. They want people who've done the job before, and they want to pay them less. Now, tell me something. In America, what kid comes out of college, gets a job, and a few years later thinks, you know what, I've been doing this job for 5 years. I want the exact same job for less money.
Oh, sure.
So people don't want these jobs because they're not being recruited properly. The other thing Capelli found is that companies use these electronic database systems to recruit people.
Mm-hmm.
And what he showed is they clearly don't work. He had a couple of examples. He said he got an email from a CEO who, to test his own company's recruiting processes, applied for a job in his own company. It's the old classic, you know, game here. Let me apply for a job using a fake name and see what he didn't get hired. He didn't even get an interview. He didn't even get a response. Then he gave another example. 26,000 engineers go online, and they apply for a routine, non-sexy engineering job. The system rejected every single one of them.
Why?
Because there's not a perfect match. Human resources departments have come to believe that because you have this thing called MonsterCareerBuilderHotJobs.com on this massive database with every single human being, all the resumes are in there. If you wait long enough, Rhoda, you will find the perfect candidate. The perfect candidate. But the problem is the databases aren't very smart. All they do is match keywords. And if you don't have all the right keywords, you get kicked out of the system.
I mean, I have a career. Well, you know, some of it was luck, but actually, it was luck. I walked in. I was working my way through college, loading United parcel trucks, and the problem with that was good paying job. Actually, 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., and I was falling asleep in my 8 o'clock music class. And I was backstage at a play that I was in, and Larry Berkmeyer, I have no idea what happened to this guy. He dropped out like a few months later, never saw him again. He's not in, I've looked for him online, can't find him. But for some reason, I still don't know how he even knew this. He said, you know, there's a job at the local radio station. And so I went in, I talked to the news director. Two things happened. First of all, even though I had zero experience in this, he saw something in me. I had no resume at all. And secondly, I lucked out because he was one of those guys in a small town who could have worked in any big city. He liked small towns, and I got incredible training. Now, if I applied for that job on Monster.com, this doesn't happen.
Let me give you another interesting statistic. And I just did a presentation for Cornell's executive MBA program. You know, these are managers with 7 to 15 years experience who go back to get an MBA.
Mm-hmm.
I did a workshop for them, and I asked them this question. I said, you've all heard of MonsterCom. What percentage of their hires do companies say they get through MonsterCom? And I'm pointing out the Monster. There's also CareerBuilder. There are others out there, not just MonsterCom. What percentage of their hires would you say companies get through MonsterCom? Let's take a stab.
I'm cheating, actually. I've already read your column, so I know that.
Okay, so you can't play.
Yeah, I can't play. Rhoda, did you get that far?
I'm just going to guess 1%.
People typically guess 10, 15, 20%. It's 1.3%.
Oh.
And yet last year, we dumped close to $1 billion into MonsterCom alone. And again, it goes for CareerBuilder, it goes for these other sites as well.
Wait, when you say we, who do you mean?
I mean employers primarily, because it's mostly employers who fund operations like these big job boards. Job hunters sometimes will pay an extra $20 or $30 a month for a premium listing. For a premium listing. But what basically happens is companies spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year posting jobs, and then they get thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of applicants to fill a job. And they sit there and they say, gee, we got all these people. The only way to process them is using software algorithms. And the software algorithms are just not finding the right kinds of people in here. So we must have very little talent out in the world. It's like, guys, wait a minute. If you're only getting 1.3% of your hires through this channel, why are you using it at all? What Gil pointed out, his experience is very common. Between 40 and 70% of jobs, depending on which survey you look at, in America are found through personal contacts. And everybody knows that in their gut. But companies spend very little to exploit that channel further. So the advice you give to people, that I give to people as I'm asked a headhunter, I tell them, you want a job? Go hang around with people who do the kind of work you want to do where you want to do it. That's what you have to do. You can do it online in discussion forums. You can do it at educational events, at industry events. There's a lot. You can go to Joe's Bar. I used to hang out at Scott Seafood in Palo Alto. I used to meet candidates that I would place with my clients there.
Mm.
Much more effective than sitting staring at your computer screen trying to find people's keywords.
But here's part of the problem with HR doing the hiring. And there's so many things, and these are in your Ask the Headhunter column on this. The person in HR, as you point out, has no skin in the game.
No.
I mean, they don't know anything about the department where this person's going to work, and even if they're an utter failure, the HR person's never going to see them until they do their exit interview. So,
if you read the comments on that article from some HR folks who posted, what they all come out and say is, hiring managers are not qualified to interview and select people to hire for their departments. And you look at that and you think, honest to God, I feel sorry for HR people because they've really convinced themselves of utter balderdash.
They're deluded.
They're absolutely deluded.
But
again, HR, I think, can handle legal compliance issues. They can handle pay. They can handle benefits and all that stuff. But they should take their noses out of recruiting and hiring, and managers need to start taking on this role more. Because what you'll find when managers have to do this, they don't want to sort through 10,000 applicants. They don't have time. So they're going to stop using job boards and applicant tracking systems. They're going to start going to Joe's Bar. They're going to start going to Scott's Seafood to meet the friends, you know, people they want to hire. They're going to make it more personal.
Yeah, walking down the hall. Hey, you guys know somebody who's, like, really good at this, might have been, you know, laid off or something.
Gil, what winds up happening is people hear all this stuff, and they say, okay, so this system doesn't work, so what should we do? And honestly, it's really very, very simple. You do it the way a headhunter does it. What you want to do is ask yourself, what four or five companies really ring your bells? Where would you love to go to work next? And don't even worry if they have any job openings. I call it triangulating. Start thinking about who works with or does business with that company. If you can contact an employee, wonderful. If you don't know any employees, ask yourself, who are their vendors? Who are their customers? Who are their accountants? Who are their lawyers? Who are their bankers? Make some phone calls and call and don't ask for a job lead. You say, hey, you know what? I'm doing some research on company ABC. I was wondering if you'd give me a little insight. I know you do business with them. What can you tell me about them? So you have a substantial discussion about the company's work, and then you say, you know, could you do me a favor? Is there somebody you know at the company who might be able to give me a little more advice and insight? Again, you never ask for a job because you're putting the monkey on somebody's back, and they tell you to go talk to HR.
Well,
it's like meeting girls to get a date.
It's very smart.
Yeah. Nick Carcadillis writes, Ask the Headhunter. You can find it at asktheheadhunter.com, and there's just tons of information besides the fact that it's also entertaining as hell. And some real insight in this column as to why things are so screwed up. Nick, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gil and Rhoda.
You got it. It's like corporations are letting technology run the show instead of making technology work for them.
And one of the things we've done is we've turned college into just another way, just another box for a computer algorithm to check rather than find out whether somebody really. Peter Jennings, who I worked with at ABC News, Peter's a high school dropout.
Yep.
But man, he loved his books. He loved his books, and he loved finding out things, and he gathered knowledge, and he could do the job. But he was a high school dropout. And a computer today, he wouldn't have gotten an interview. But he got an interview. He came in, and I cannot imagine having somebody work with me that I did not talk to face-to-face. Let somebody else, you know, pick for me. Is absolutely what a harsh, especially somebody from HR, maybe somebody else in news or programming or something like that who understands what we do, but somebody in HR.